probably say, God, I should have listened to you. How many of you can relate? I can relate to that. There are things in my life, if I could go back, I would, you know what? I should have listened to my parents, but I did not, right? Or when I look back, I shouldn't have gone out with that guy or that woman. And look at me right now. You know what? Sin, the consequence of sin, sometimes it stays with you for life. The consequence of sin. But God is gracious, and he's a good God. But the consequence of sin, sometimes it stays with us. For example, if somebody decides that they're going to go shoplifting and they are like 20 years old, and I don't know what happened into their mind, like, you know, they just decide they're going to go shoplifting. What happened? They get caught. It's on their record for the rest of their life. Does God forgive them if they ask God to forgive them? Absolutely. Absolutely. The people might not, but God will. What happens if you kill someone? The consequence of sin is that you do go to jail. You will have to go to jail. But does God forgive you if you say, God, please forgive me? He will forgive you. So that's why I just want to encourage you that sin, the sin that we do has a big consequence. Sometimes it's not even worth it because sometimes it goes to our children. One of them, it could be like, you know, you have extramarital affair and then you got a disease and then you have children and your children end up having that. God is good and he can miraculously heal all of that. But we have to go for the consequence of going to the doctor, do a blood test and do this and do that. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's not even worth it. And today I want to share about Saul and David. What are the things that we can see in both of them that is going to make us think about God? How does it apply to our life today? Everything that you read in the Bible is not just a story that happened years ago. Actually, we can relate to them. And, you know, one of the things that we need to know as a Christian is to be able to meditate on the Word of God. If we've been a Christian for a long time and we've never learned or we've never had someone to sit with us and teach us how to meditate, we wouldn't know how to do that. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, it would be sad if you end up your life never knowing how to meditate on the Word of God. We're going to do a mini lesson very quickly. If you go to Psalm 1, because, you know, like sometimes meditating, if you're not used to it, your head go all over the place. It's like, okay, I need to cook now. Okay, I'm hungry now. Okay, it's this and that. You know, it never finish. So let's go do a very, this is not my message, but I just want to quickly give you a little overview. How do we meditate? There are different ways of meditating. I'm just giving you one little way of how we do meditate. For example, Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. So what you do is that, this is one way of doing it. You don't have to do it like that, but this is one way. Blessed is the man. Father God, Holy Spirit, you are my teacher. The Bible says you are the one who teach me, the best teacher. So blessed, what does it mean, blessed? You wait upon the Lord. Does it mean that, Lord? God will start speaking to you. God is going to start letting you know what the word blessed mean. And you start writing it down. Or if you are like you like to, you know, you're someone who capture everything in your mind, just capture that. What does the word blessed mean? What does it mean to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Father God, what does it mean to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Who are the ungodly in my life right now, Father God? And you know what? As you start meditating, the Lord is going to start revealing to you. It's the best message that you could ever, ever hear is the message that God gives you personally. This is the best message that you could get. Nowadays, you can go on the internet. Okay, I want to know about Psalm 1. Let's get 5 people teach me about Psalm 1. But the best one is to sit in the presence of God and say, Lord, you teach me today. What does the word blessed mean? What does it mean? Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Who are the ungodly in my life, Father God? What are the things that I'm doing which is not right? I guarantee you, as we do that, God is going to save us from a lot of trouble. That is how we meditate. Start this way. Do it 5 minutes. Do it 10 minutes. Next time, do it 15 minutes. As you get used to meditate in the Word of God, what is happening is that you are saturated in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says when you are in the presence of the Lord, there is freedom. Sometimes when you're in the presence of the Lord, you don't have to chase every demon out or go in the name of Jesus. They have to go. They just have to leave because they cannot stand the presence of God. For those of us who have a background in witchcraft and voodoo and stuff like that, we know that when the presence of God come, we don't even have to bind them and command them to go. They just have to go. Actually, if someone has a demonic spirit and they try to come and put it on you, the thing is that it goes back to the sender. It goes back to them big time. They will not come to you. They know who lives in you. They will look at you, and normally they will not even be able to look at you in your eyes, because the eyes is the window of the soul. They know what is in there, you know? How do I know that? In Mauritius, we have a lot of those stuff. If you were born from an island, you know that. It's like, we don't even call it voodoo. It's part of our culture. You know what I mean? It's part of life. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, we just go and, you know, you have something wrong. You don't go to the doctor. You go to that person who will pray over it, and it's normal. But then when you become a Christian, you realize, this is not too normal. This is really not God. But all that to say that, you know what? God has put something in us that we need to cultivate. If God says, you know what, tomorrow you're going to be a doctor, you cannot just be a doctor tomorrow. You have to go to school for 10 years. You have to go through a season where God is going to mold you. What will happen is that the prophetic word will be spoken over you. You will never be able to possess the land because you've never positioned yourself to take what God has for you. Is it God's fault? It's not. It's just we haven't positioned ourselves to take it. So we're going to look at some of the similarities of King Saul and King David. They were both king. You agree with me? They were both king. One is the first king of Israel, Saul, and David is the second one. They were both anointed by the same prophet Samuel and chosen by God. Would you agree with me? They are both anointed. It's not like, oh, I want to be a king. Please anoint me, anoint me. It wasn't like that. The prophet came. With Samuel, it was a little bit different. His dad lost a donkey. He went and he went to see Samuel. And Samuel said, here you go. You are the one. This is a short version of the story, okay? You can read in 1 Samuel. You will get the long version. So the little fellow, he was not little actually, he was a young man, right? And Samuel said, you are the king, you're going to be chosen as the king and anoint him. So Samuel anointed him, chosen by God. King David, same thing, chosen by God, anointed by Samuel. They both sin, they both have sinned. I mean, who doesn't know the sin of David? I mean, you know, adultery, you name it, killing the wrong person, killing everything that he could kill, he would kill, you know. Samuel, same thing. He committed a lot of sin. They both had the same power as a king. They both ruled over Israel. They had the same power. The Lord has given them the same power. The both of them were great warriors. Saul was very handsome, the Bible said. They're both good warriors. But the difference that happened is one died miserably. He died with his descendant, with his son, in the battlefield, pursuing the man of God, pursuing David because of jealousy. He died like that. He lost his kingdom. No descendant to take over the promises that God has for him. Did God promise him? Absolutely. Did God promise David? Yes. But what happened to Saul? Lost everything. But what happened to David? David died at a very good age. He died at peace in his own home. He had the time to instruct Solomon in the way he should reign. You see the difference? Why is that? Why is it that one end up like that and the other one end up the other way? Is it because God favor Saul more than David? I don't think so. I believe that God loved everyone the same. But what makes the difference is the choice that we make. That is what is going to differentiate between those two kings, is the choice that you make. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures how many times the Lord has actually given Saul opportunity to change his life. But he stayed in the same road and it ended up to death of his destiny. If you turn your Bible into 1 Samuel 10, verse 8. This is the prophet Samuel telling Saul, King Saul, what to do. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offering and make sacrifice of peace offering. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So it's very clear that the prophet said to him, you know what, you're going to go to Gilgal, you're going to wait for 7 days. But in 1 Samuel 13, verse 8 to 13, 1 Samuel 13, verse 8 to 13, what happened? Saul went to Gilgal, and this is what happened. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. So did he do good this time? Yes. Okay. Did he listen? Yes. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistine gathered together at Michmash. Then I said, the Philistine will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord. When we read that, we realize that Saul was disobedient. It was very clear the instruction that the Lord has given him. The Lord is like, you're going to wait for 7 days. But what happened is that he was so afraid of the people. As soon as he sees a crowd, he starts roaring up. He's like, oh my gosh, you know what? We need to please the people. We need to do whatever they want. And maybe we need to do that. So what he did is actually disobey God. And as soon as he felt like, where's the guy? He told me he's going to come in 7 days. He did not even inquire of the Lord. He started doing it himself. And in the Old Testament, kings do not offer sacrifice. It's the priest who does that. And they know better. If you're appointed as a king, you know what is required of you. What did he do? He get out of his way, do what a priest was supposed to do. As soon as he did that, Samuel came. What did you do? Well, I listened to you, you know. He's like, you've done foolish. You have not listened to the Lord. How many of us, the Lord is like, you know what, I'm going to give you this and that. And we're like, okay, God, we're waiting, we're praying, we're so happy, hallelujah, this is the promise. It's not happening. 1 year, not happening. 2nd year, not happening. What do we start to do? Okay, now I have to start something now. I don't think it's working for me. That career is not working. I'm going to change it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do. We all are guilty of that, right? I am anyway. It's like, oh God, you promised me that. It's not coming. And it doesn't look like it's coming. Now I have all the pressure behind me wanting me to do that. It's like, come on, God, you know me. We all have done that. And we try to do it in our own ways. We tried and see what happened. Samuel said, no, you've done foolish. A lot of time, like, you know how when you drive and you look for a place when you didn't have GPS at that time, right? Because now you have GPS, it will tell you exactly where it is. As long as they're behaving, sometimes they take me to a different place. I'm like, GPS, you need healing. And So what happened is that when, you know, in the days where there was no GPS, you just check and you go. You keep going, and you don't see the place. And in fact, and then you decided, oh, I don't think it's there. I have to turn back. And really, if you had gone a little bit further, you wouldn't have missed it. Have it happened to you? It happened to me. I'm like, oh, why didn't I keep on going? And in life, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes we don't have the energy or the stamina or the muscle to go that step. We faint. The Bible says, keep doing good. Keep doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The most difficult thing is when it's getting really close and it's getting really late. How many know that God is never late? He seems very late often, but he's never late. I wish he could come a little bit earlier, but I'm not God. His ways are much higher than my ways. It's a lot of time like that. So I want to encourage you, if you're going for a season that you're saying, like, you know what? It has to happen. Lord, you've promised me. It's like, God, your ways are much higher than my ways. I'm going to trust you. It's against my grain, because you know what? The way we've been brought up is like, get it done, go, next. The Lord is like, wait upon the Lord and you shall have strength. It's like, great. Now you have to wait upon the Lord. It's against the way we've been brought up. I don't like waiting. I don't think any of us like waiting. But the Lord is like, wait upon the Lord. Spend time in my presence. Oh, give me the message. Give me the message. The Lord is like, no, I want you to spend time. There's no shortcut in the presence of God. There's no shortcut. My kid is like, oh, mommy, you know I'm going through that. Please pray for me. I'm like, honey, the Bible says when you're troubled, pray. I will pray for you, but you've got to learn to pray for yourself. You have to learn to pray. This is some. If I'm continually, okay, let's come and let's pray, and you're binding everything. I will do that. Don't get me wrong. But we need to learn to be on our knees and pray, because we like everything quick, fix everything for me. Okay, now let's go. It doesn't go like that. When it comes to the things of God, it takes time sometimes. And Saul did not have that patience. And patience is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that I ask God every day. Because all of us, we need patience. So what did Saul do? He was disobedient. He will only listen to God as long as he thinks it's okay with him. As long as, like, you know what, I'm going to wait 7 days, but now it's after 7 days, you're not coming, I'm going to do something. He had no fear of God. If he had the fear of God, he will know who he's serving. He will not do that. How many can relate to that? Sometimes I feel like, God, I don't have enough of your fear in my life, because I've done a few things. I've said a few things that I shouldn't have said. And really, if I had the fear of God in my life, I wouldn't have done that. Can any one of you relate to that? It's like we don't have the fear of God enough in our life. And God is like, and on top of that, when the prophet came to him and said, Saul, Saul, what did you do? Well, you know what? You didn't come on time. And the people were like, after me, the pressure's after me. He did not even repent. He could have repented. You know what? Oh, my God, I shouldn't have done that. Samuel, he had a prophet with him. You had the hand of the prophet at those days. You hold his hand and you start praying. And it break every curse that could ever happen in your life. What did he do? Oh, well, 7 days, you know, you didn't come. I was waiting. It's not like I didn't wait. And he even said, I did the will of God. What are you talking about? He did not repent. I feel like sometimes God says to me, Alexandra, I've come to you many times. Did you repent? Or did you say, well, God, I've prayed and I've fasted and I do all that. We do that sometimes. And the more we get into sin, the more we get involved in sin, we will try to justify big time. You know what? It's the parent that you gave me. Honestly, it's a very unhealthy family that you've given me. What do you think I will end up being, God? What are we saying right now? It's like, God, you're not big enough for you to come and take me out of that pit and show your glory in that place. You know, it's time for us to be able to take responsibility of what we are going through, of what the Lord has given us. Because if we don't take responsibility, we'll be exactly like Saul. You know what? You don't understand my mother. Honestly, I've got mother issue. You don't understand the mother that I have. And the husband that I have, if it was not up to him, I would serve God for the rest of my life. Or the wife. And God is like, oh, excuse me, what are you saying? Knock, 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 what are you saying? Are you saying that I'm not big enough to do that? I want you, when I'm talking to you like that, you listen to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Because my prayer for you today is that as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is going to customize it for you. And he's going to show you. It's not about Saul. It's not about David. It's not about all that. My prayer is that God, as I'm going to release that message, the Spirit of God is going to show us some of the things in our life that need to be changed. And that we need to come to that place of repentance. And we need to come to that. That's why I so love the house of prayer. Because it kind of brings me back into that, you know, on my knees. Because when you keep going, 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 and especially if you're working in the things of God, you can potentially dig a hole before you by saying that you're doing the things of God and not actually spending time in the presence of God. So a second time, I'm going to show you a second time where Samuel again disobeyed God. If you turn your Bible to 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. Now Samuel says to Saul, now go and attack Amalek. Amalek was a very bad. They always come and they try to kill. They were really bad. He said, I want you to kill everyone. Just destroy everything. But see what happened, verse 19. He did not do that. He's like, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you do that? Why did you do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord has sent me. Does it sound familiar? But God, I've done what you asked me to do. What are you talking about? It's like, come on. And brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have destroyed them all. But it was the people who took the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things which should have been destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Was the instruction clear? The prophet was very clear. Destroy everything. But what did he do? He did not. He disobeyed. Again, because in his mind, these are good things. Let's take it back. And Samuel is like, Saul, what did you just do now? Well, I did what you said, what you asked me to do. What are you talking about? No, you did not listen to me. You did not listen to me. And by then, you know what happened? The Lord say, you're not going to be king. I've already chosen another one. God always gives chances, always. He's such a good God. Honestly, he's slow to anger. He's very, very good. But there come a time where we need to make a decision. What are we going to do? Who are we going to serve? Because the consequence that we have to pay for that is too much. It's not even worth it. And Saul did, like, the guy did not really have the fear of God. And he keep going. Even God said to him very clearly, Saul, you are no longer going to be king. What did the guy do? He keep being king. He was the king. He did not listen. And on top of that, oh, now let's, okay, people, let's inquire of the Lord. The Lord say, I'm not going to answer you. What did he do? Such a shift. He's like, you're not going to answer me? Good, I have plan B. Let's go. Let's go and see somebody who can see in the spirit. The Bible says Saul, he tried to hide himself. He changed his appearance. He went to see a medium. That's what the Bible said. He went to see a medium. The lady's like, okay, you're coming. Because she did not recognize him. He disguised himself. The lady said, okay, what do you want? He said, can you check that for me? Can you bring Samuel back? The lady was like, well, but you are king. You are King Saul. He's like, oh, don't worry about that. Just bring him back. And you know, I believe the Lord allows Samuel to come back. Why? Not because that woman has so much power. It's because the Lord is like, Samuel came back and said, you've done wrong. You're not going to get it anymore. Get it this time. I'm telling you, you're not getting it. Have you seen that that sin has continued in his life over and over and over and over, and he tried to twist the arm of God to do something? God already spoken. No, repent. And he did not repent. He keep doing the same thing. He blamed others. He blamed the prophet. Oh, you came late. Oh, you know the people. He doesn't want to take any responsibility for his action. He was very impatient. Like if you look in 1 Samuel 28, verse 5 to 6, you will see the story of that woman who really rebuked him. It's like, what are you doing, Saul? Are you want to kill me? Because in those days, if you have those medium, the king will kill them. And now he himself is going. Why? Because he inquired of the Lord and he didn't hear anything. He's like, okay, you're not going to answer me. I'm going somewhere else. It's like the king who knows, who has anointed him, twist against God and come. And you know what the Bible said? He said, rebellion is a sign of witchcraft. I remember one day I needed to do something. And I absolutely did not want to do it. And that verse came into my mind. If somebody came to me and said, Alexandra, you're witchcraft. I'm like, excuse me, pardon me. Excuse me? What are you saying? I would like make the person repeat that, right? One day the Holy Spirit said, rebellion is a sign of witchcraft. And he showed me the verse, and it's in Samuel. How many of us have done things that we shouldn't have done? We serve a good God. He just wants us to come back and to repent. We can't keep making the same mistake over and over again and want to have something different. Another thing that Saul had, which is not a good character, he's got problem with jealousy, that guy. It's all about himself. You know when the prophet Samuel said, buddy, it's finished for you. You know what he said to him? At least anoint me so that I can go back to my people. It was all about him. Did you just hear what the prophet just said? He's like, anoint me again. The prophet said, no. And he does have a problem with jealousy. When he absolutely wants to kill David, he's like, I'm going to kill you. So he really pursued killing him. And he ended up his life pursuing killing David. He ended up his life dead with his son. His son, who was, I think, a nice fellow, Jonathan, he ended up losing his life because of the craziness of his dad. Parents, let's wake up. The things that we do might affect our children. We need to take responsibility. And we all have failed. Like, you know, when I have my first child, I did not get any training how to raise a child. When you go and become an accountant or you get training. But when you have your first child, you don't get training. Here you go, the baby's out, hallelujah. You know what I mean? We don't get that training as we should. And we do a lot of mistakes. But God is gracious. God is so gracious to us. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to redeem all that the enemy has stolen from you. And it's about time for us to look at life a little bit differently and to understand that where God is taking us is a little bit different. And God, you're going to help me to go through that road. All of us, we have sin, but not everyone repent. That is a big difference. And obedience is going to bring us into really a deeper revelation of the Father. Obedience in the little things is going to bring us into the things where God wants us to go. It's like eating. If you eat a lot today, you don't become fat the next day. It's all the little food that you, you know, the Lindo chocolate and all these little things that you eat every day, now and there. It's not like if you go to a buffet and eat, you will not be fat the next day. I guarantee you that. You will probably go in the washroom a little bit more, but you will not be fat. But if you eat a little bit of those things every day, that's when it accumulates and it becomes like, oh, I didn't know I have it. Tell me, you know, that's when you, it comes, it shows. That is the same thing when it comes to the things of God. Obedience, the little things that we are obeying God. Okay, God, did you want me to go there? The Bible says, you know what, do not forsake the assembly of the believers. Oh, you know what, today is Sunday. I really don't want to do that. Do you think we're coming to church for him? First, it's for us. First, it's for us. If the Lord can open our eyes, if we can see the protection that comes when we come to church, we'll be like, we're running to church. It's because we're so blinded with the things of the earth. We're like, oh, one day it's okay. Nobody's going to notice me anyway. Maybe, you know, after 2 weeks, Pastor Alexandra is going to come. So what? It's like, whatever. What we're doing, we're making decision that is going this way. And you know, if you like sailing 1 degree, you can miss the island where you're supposed to stop. And you can go to La La Land and never reach the island. So what's the difference between Saul and David? David, he sinned so much, the guy. He sinned. He has sinned. I mean, it's like, oh, I love this woman. Now, okay, you know what we do? Get the husband out in the battlefield, get him killed. I'm going to get this one. That is bad. How many know it's bad? It's really, really bad. That is sin to the square, to the power. Like, it is sin. It's bad. But you know what? We all love Psalm 51. He said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me. And the Bible, if you read throughout the Bible says, David, oh, I love David. He's the guy who's after my heart. I love him. And David, he's so passionate, right? He does so many bad things, but he comes to the Lord. And he got the fear of God in him. He has the fear of God in him. In Psalm 51, he's like, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. He pleading to God, 51. How many of you, you've repeated that to the Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. That's who David is. David, he's afraid of God. You know that twice he was able to kill Saul? And he did not kill him twice. His soldier is like, David, hello, David, David, the guy's after you, killing you. Kill him, he's here. Did he not get pressure? I would think he got the pressure as well. But what did he say? He know who he's serving. He doesn't serve those guys. He serve him. And big boss say, you do not touch the anointed one. And you know what David said to Saul? He said, if you read your Bible, David said to Saul, God is the judge. That's why he did not kill you. How many times do we become the judge instead of letting God be the judge? He could have easily killed that guy. Boom. Nobody will say anything. Good for you, David. The guy was after you. You should kill him, of course. Get rid of him. But he did not. Why? Because he's not a man who has to listen to everyone what to do. He's a man who listens to what God says, what he should do. He doesn't really care what you think. He really cares what God thinks. If you are for God, he's with you. If you're against God, he's not going to be with you. He knows he's God. He knows he's God. And that's who David, that's who he is. He's obedient. He does not rebel. He sinned, but he come back. So saying all that about King David and Saul, I want you to be able to look at your life right now and understand that God has given us a lot of good principle in the Bible. The Bible is clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. What do? We go after all these things and then we seek the kingdom of God. And we're like, why is it not happening, Lord? Why is it not happening? It's clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But we're seeking the other way and then we want the kingdom of God to come. God, you've promised me that. So we need to be able to look at that shift in our mindset and be able to see, why is it not happening, God? And you know what? What God has promised you might not be the same as what God has promised the other person. And the other person might look at you and say, I don't see the blessing of God too much in your life. But you know what? If you have peace, if you have joy, it's like, do you know how much people pay just to have a little bit of joy and peace? Hundreds of dollars. If you have joy and peace, you know the medication that you don't have to take? I'm not against medication. I believe that sometimes we have to take some medication to go through what we're going through. I don't, you know, Luke was a doctor. I mean, come on, you know. I believe in medication. But I don't believe that somebody has to keep taking medication. I believe that we have to be able to say, okay, God, what is it, God? Father, show me. And he will show you. And we will be able to get out of that. I believe that God has given us the ability to make choices. We need to surround ourselves with people who fear God. Just like it says, blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Because what happened is that if you go in the world, they're like, oh, come on. How old are you? 17, 18? You don't have a boyfriend yet? What is that? Or some people will come to you. Oh, how old are your kids? 16? Oh, that's trouble time. I'm telling you, it's trouble time. Honestly, in the Bible, those who had more trouble are not the young, not the teenager. It was not. Show me in the Bible where all the teenagers. The most of them were adults. Where does it say that in the Bible? I'm not going to tell the person, well, but in my mind, when somebody says, you know what, your kids are teenager, you're going to have trouble. In my mind, I say, no, Lord, I choose not to. This is not what your God, what your word say. I do not agree with that. And I just bind it right away. You don't have to tell them, because if the person is not a Christian, you just have to have a little bit of wisdom. You don't offend them in a way that will, you know. But in your mind, you say, no, this is not what the Bible says. Because in the Bible, like King Solomon, in his old age, was bad. You know, the Bible, if you read your Bible, you will see that. He was not good. So he was not young, he was older. So saying all that, Jamila sent me an email about how we can live our life and putting the most important things, and then at the end, we don't have space for the thing that are, no, I'm going to rephrase that. The email talk about there's a ball, and then you have big balls. What happened? You put the big balls in the bowl. Do you have still space? You still have space. And then you put the little pebbles. Do you have still space? Yes. And then you put the sand. Do you have still space? Yes. And then you put the water. In our life, if the big balls are the things of this earth, we will not have time for the things that are important. We need to know, what are we filling our bowl? What are the things that we're filling our bowl with? And ask God, God, show me. Show me the things that I should fill my life with. Because at the end of the day, if we end up working, and we look at our kids, we're like, you know what? If I had to redo it again, I probably wouldn't have done that. I would have spent some time with them. So that wouldn't be one of the bowl that I would have put first. But God is gracious. God is good. And as we spend time and we start asking God, like I'm telling you, this week we're going to IHOP, we're going to be spoiled because it's 24/7 house of prayer in the presence of God. It can't get better than that, honestly. Once you taste the presence of God, I'm telling you, you've got the best. Nothing is going to be able to be compared to that once you taste the presence of God. The Bible says his presence is like a sweet fragrance. Better be in his presence than a thousand elsewhere. Once you tasted that, but how do we taste it? We need to be in his presence and be with people who spend time in his presence. I was reading that book about Charles Finney. He's a revivalist. I think if you come to the church, I think half of the church, I mean not here, will run away from him. He's a no-nonsense guy, honestly. Like, the way I read book, I read it and I finish. I don't like to read it over. I've been reading the book since January. Over and over again. He's an amazing man of God. The way he speaks, he brings purity back into your life. Holiness back. And not in a way that is going to put you down. We need to get over that, you know, that things that tickle our ears. We need to get over that. God, what do you want me to do? Just tell me. If you read his book, you will realize that God is holy. He's holy and he loves us and he loves us so much. And if God has given you the anointing in your life, the Bible says in Isaiah, he has anointed us to bring good news, to set the captives free. If he has anointed us and everybody around us are captives, are we setting the captives free? What kind of anointing do we have? If everybody around us, as soon as they see us, they're like, oh, trouble is coming, let's go the other way. It's like, what kind of anointing do we have? God is filling us with his anointing. Wherever we go, we're going to be able to be a blessing. Because when God starts to bless us, it's never just for us. It's for you and the people around you. So we're going to stand and we're going to ask God to just come and just to speak to us this morning. In Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, what does it say? If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land or the fat of the land. This is a promise that the Lord has given us, if you are willing and obedient. And in James 1:22, it said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. How many believe in the word of God? How many believe that God has a word for us today? How many believe that God is a God of a second chance? We cannot say, God, I've never heard this message before. I believe God is saying, now you're accountable for what you heard. I am accountable for what I've prepared. And I believe it's for us to be able to walk into where God wants us to go. So, Father, we just come before you, Father God. It's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late, Father God. And right now, I just felt like some of us, I really felt in my heart as I was preparing this message that some of us, God is talking to us about our children. Yes, we did not spend much time with them, but God said it's never too late. It's never too late. I felt like some of us, we have agreed with the enemy. When people ask us question, are your children saved? We want to say yes, but they are not. And God said, I want you to start praying for them daily. If it means fasting, let's do that. Because at the end of the day, where there's going is eternity. And God has put us as their parents. God, give us the grace to be able to do that, Father God. Give us the grace because you've promised us. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And Father, I lift up all my sisters who don't know you yet, Father God, right now. And I want you to pray for your kids or your sister. Father, I'm praying right now for all my sisters who don't know you yet, Father God. I pray for their salvation, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that their knee will bow and their tongue will confess that you are Lord, Father God. I pray, Lord God, for all the people in my family, Lord God, who do not serve you, who rebel against you really, Father God, by not serving you, Father God. Father, I pray for your grace and your mercy upon their life, Father God. I pray for your grace and your mercy upon their life, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you will open the eyes, that they will be able to see, Lord God, the truth, Father God. And the whole truth, Father God, is going to set them free, Father God. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, any sin in our life, Father God, that we knowingly know that we have, Father God, that we've struggled to get rid of. Father, I ask you to help us, Father God, to get out of that in Jesus' name. Help us to make the right choice, Father God. Help us to make the right choice, Father God. Father, without you, it is not possible. But with you, all things are possible for those who believe, Father God. So, Father, I ask you, Father God, any addiction in my life, Father God, anything that is not pleasing unto you, Lord God, would you help us, Father God? Would you help us to get rid of that, Father God? If it has to do with our tongue, that we say things that we shouldn't say, Father God, would you help us to do that, Father God? If it has to do with the way we think, Lord God. Father, I ask you for a cleansing of our mind right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you for a cleansing of our mind, Father God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers our sin, Father God, that covers everything, Lord God. Father, we want to be like David, Lord God. We want to be like David, Lord God, a man after your heart, Father God. We want to be able to come before you and repent. And this morning, as a church, we repent for the things that we've done, which is not pleasing to you. For the things that we've done, that we've shifted the responsibility on someone else, Father God. Father, I repent, Father God, for the things that I am responsible for, but I have shifted it to somebody else, Father God. I repent of that, Father God. Because just like David, Father God, you said, Father God, he said, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, Father God. Create in me a clean heart, Lord God. And renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast away from your presence, Father God. Do not take your Holy Spirit from us. Do not take the Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of our salvation, Father God. So, Father God, as we go this week, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, for each and every single one of us, Father God. I pray that your peace go with us, Father God, everywhere we go, Lord God. That everywhere we go, Lord God, that we will be a blessing to the people around us, Father God. I pray for all those who are going to the house of prayer. I pray for protection, Father God, on our way. Coming, going and coming back, Father God, I pray for an impartation of the Spirit of God to be downloaded upon us, Father God. And I pray, Lord God, that when we come back, Father God, it's going to have a ripple effect on the people here who stayed, Father God. And Father, I thank you for your blessing over each and every single one of us. We trust you, Lord God. We trust you, Lord God. And we are willing and obedient. And we will eat the fat of the land. Amen. So be blessed. Be a blessing to somebody and make it right if it's not right. So just go and hug somebody right now.